appreciate being here. Like to be in places like this. I've been to, in the last 7 or 8 years, probably a couple hundred places like this in Ohio and around the region. It's a part of my apostolic calling, as well as the regional things that I am doing around the nation. But I love to do this because in many ways, places like this are really carrying the kingdom effort in prayer for our nation that we need to turn around. And we are going to. I believe that. But so good to be here. Recognize some of you from somewhere. Either you were over there or I was there where you were. But it's good to be with you. Few things on the table I will tell you about. This is our praise team's worship CD. Just came out not long ago. My daughter is our praise team leader. She wrote every one of those songs there. And anybody have that already? Oh, you do. Well, good. The rest of you, they're out there. I'm bragging on it, not just because it's my daughter that wrote them, but it's just very good praise music. And I don't know if you have this one yet, Strike the Sky. That is only one song. She wrote it for her uncle, Dutch. And that is the Appeal to Heaven song that goes with, when he teaches. And that's a song, if you want to pray for the nation, an appeal to heaven, that song. It's just one song, so it's only $2, but it is a great song, Strike the Sky. And it's an intercessory prayer type song. And you can get that back there in the back. Of course, Angel Armies is now out with its limited. I've got some. And in 2 weeks, it's out in Barnes & Noble, and books a million sold out already, and they reordered, but it hasn't officially went out to the nation and 8 different countries that they're going to be sending it to till about 2 weeks from now. I just taped the Sid Roth show, and when that comes out, that's in 23 nations, and Angel Armies will be out, and it's also be in 8 translations. And so simultaneously with that, if you don't have Angel Armies, they're out there. It's and tonight I'm going to talk about Angel Armies, but from the understanding of it being Pentecost weekend and revival in just a moment. But I talk about the intrinsic nature of angels, the work of angels, what angels do. I studied it. I actually wrote that book 6 times. Didn't like it. Didn't like it. But I actually even had somebody else rewrite it. Didn't like that. And I just kept reteaching it. And finally, about a year ago, I said, that's what I want to say. And so it's now out. And then we're re-releasing. Destiny Image is releasing that around the world in 2 weeks. But they want to simultaneously release Heaven Made Real, which I wrote about 20 years ago. It will have a new cover. This is the old one. You'll tell by the picture. Same book, just a different cover. But it will be re-released around the world also, and also China. So that's going to be awesome. And but Heaven Made Real, I studied that in 21 translations and the Hebrew and Greek, every reference. I studied astrophysics. I talked for 6 hours on glorified bodies and what they do. It's the most fascinating subject I have ever studied, and that includes angels. Angels is way up there. Angels is more strategic for our times. But I have doctors that buy this one by the case to give to terminally ill patients, and also to give to people that lose a child, because it tells you exactly what happens. And you can take advantage of those later on tonight. Acts chapter 2 again, verse number 1. Hallelujah. I When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to talk to you tonight about Holy Spirit and His angel armies in context with a world-changing revival that has already begun. There are many references in Scripture concerning how Holy Spirit, who is called the other self of Christ in John 14, the other comforter, that's allos, it means same kind and quality, it actually means the other of a pair. Jesus called Holy Spirit my other self. How when they move, when Holy Spirit moves, He moves with angel armies. One of those occasions occurs here at Pentecost. Please understand what's happening. King Jesus had issued an order for a new campaign of His kingdom to begin on the earth. Take my gospel everywhere. Holy Spirit comes to supervise and empower that. And as usual, He comes with the angel armies. That is referenced here by the cloven tongues of fire that hovered over the remnant warriors seated in the upper room. Remember, 500 were told to go, but only 120 did it. Only 20% did. Only a remnant did. Well, angels ministered fire on that 120, that remnant. Angels appearing as tongues of fire are often seen throughout the Scriptures. Acts chapter 2 is just one of them. They heard a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared cloven tongues like as a fire. The Amplified Bible says, resembling fire, which settled upon each of them. Cherubim's wings are said to produce that kind of sound in Ezekiel chapter 3. Remember, Ezekiel said there, when the cherubims flew, their wings brushed together, producing a swishing type of sound. Some Hebrew translators translated a violent type of fluttering. Some translated as a drumming type of sound. Others translated as a roaring type sound, like a rushing river type of sound, or a rhythmic type of sound. This sound echoed off of the spinning wheels that spun beside them. And Ezekiel chapter 4 says that produced a rumbling type of sound. More importantly, the wheels are a part of the chariot upon which the Lord of hosts sometimes rides. Not always, but sometimes He does. And He is carried by angels when He does. But clearly, God is moving at Pentecost. Holy Spirit is moving, and He's carried by angels or accompanied by angels. Holy Spirit moves into the upper room, assisted by angel armies. And like Ezekiel, the 120 heard the rushing wind. They heard the swishing type sounds. They heard the rumbling sound coming out of heaven like a great army beginning to march in the room. They heard the sound of a roaring river. They heard the drum beat of heaven. They began to hear the heartbeat of heaven or the rhythm of heaven. Rhythm describes something that's moving like a musical chart. It takes you somewhere. It's rhythmic, but it's moving the thing along into a rhythm, into a melody. They heard that at Pentecost. And tongues of fire, it says, settled on each of them as angels hovered over top of them. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit moves with His angel armies to bring heaven's new campaign or new move to the earth. New moves of God throughout history are always accompanied by angel armies. It's historic. And He has his angels ministering here, aspects of heaven's wind, heaven's fire, heaven's river on the earth in that upper room. Now, the Godhead is often described as releasing their ministry upon the earth through the angels. So most certainly, if the Godhead needs angels to release their ministry, it should not be surprising that the heirs, which would be you and I, Christians, we are heirs of Christ, that the heirs also need angels to assist us in our ministry on the earth. If the Godhead needs them, how much more do we? Quite frankly, this new move of God, or any real move of God, it's not possible in fullness unless the angels are present to assist us. God didn't make angels just to see if he could do it. No, they are needed beings. Heirs need angels to assist their ministry. There are actually parts, I won't get to that, but it's in the book or on the CDs in the back. But there are parts of your destiny you cannot reach without angels. It's just not possible. Because angels see potential in you that you don't even know is there. And from the day you're born, they try to draw it out of you and constantly try to draw it out of you. And there are certain aspects of regional ministry, or local ministry, or aspects of your own destiny you cannot ever fully fulfill without angels. You need them. God in his wisdom decided you need angels, and he sent them to assist us. They are needed beings. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7 says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That's a quote from Psalms 104, verse 4. Flaming there is the word plox, and it means a flash of fire, or it means a blaze of fire, or it means a tongue of fire. Plox can also refer to a lightning bolt. Now, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 13 describes angels or living beings that way. It says, as for the likeness of the living creatures or angels, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Angels appeared as flashes of light, plox, cloven tongues of fire, plox, blazes of fire or flashes of fire. The New Living Translation reads this way. The living beings look like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth among them. The Message Bible reads, the angels look like blazing fire or like fiery torches. Tongues of fire shot back and forth between the creatures, and out of the fire, bolts of lightning. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6, Isaiah said, a seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from heaven's altar with a pair of tongs and touched my lips. In other words, he lit my mouth to prophesy. He lit my lips to be God's witness upon the earth. Noted Hebrew Greek theologian Spiro Zodiades, he describes seraphims this way. Seraphims are a winged angel that appears as glowing flames of fire. That's what was happening on the first New Testament Pentecost. Holy Spirit had come to baptize the church with power from heaven. And the angels that he commands came with him to assist. Their assignment was, light their lips to be my witnesses. Light their lips to be my prophetic sound on the earth. When that happened, bright fire, tongues of fire, begin to shoot back and forth. Brilliant torches of fire hovered over them. Wind from the Holy Spirit and wind from the angel's wings begin to stir around the room, producing swishing sounds and rumbling sounds and rhythmic drumbeat sounds around the room. Flashes of light like lightning strikes. Little lightning bolts begin to flash around and dance around the room over their heads as angels ministered fresh fire off the altars of heaven as Holy Spirit breathed life into a brand new campaign of King Jesus upon the earth. Angels were ministering, working to fire up the saints and assisting Holy Spirit, who was breathing life into a new kingdom of God move on the earth that had not been happening up until then. About 10 years ago, Holy Spirit began to download this revelation to me about angel armies. He captivated my mind and my heart with angel armies that assist him and the heirs of salvation. I began to study it for months. I probably got more than 5,000 hours into it now. I've looked at over 220 different references, and I'm still studying it. It was an amazing season of enlightenment. Holy Spirit spoke to me and took me on a journey of both experience and revelation ever since that time. Now I've written a book on it. But Holy Spirit began to teach me that King Jesus had issued orders for a new campaign on earth. This is 10 years ago now. He told me that King Jesus had issued orders for a new campaign upon the earth, similar to Acts chapter 2, and that he was going to now be coming to supervise and to empower that new move. A fresh outpouring would be released. A fresh new Pentecost was coming to the earth, and revival would be worldwide. And then he said something that stopped me in my tracks. I wasn't expecting it, quite frankly. Angels were not on my radar the way that they are now as an amazing benefit. I certainly didn't know then how angels help apostles shift their region, something I practice and teach now, but I didn't even really know then. I was out by a lake by our house. It was about a half hour from our house. I go there a lot to pray. I've prayed there all night long. I don't know how many nights. It's just my favorite place to go pray. Go just spend the night in prayer. Spend days in prayer. I've been there quite a bit, and I had been going there seeking God for quite a few days when this happened. I can take you to the spot. As Holy Spirit riveted my attention one afternoon, as he said, I will now lead another campaign on earth similar to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Only this time, I'm bringing far more of the angel armies. I sat by that lake afraid to move. I didn't know what to say. In fact, I didn't say anything. I sat there kind of stunned. I was afraid to move. I was afraid to say anything, but I knew something so big, something so significant was about to come to this earth. This time, I will be bringing far more of the angel armies. So I began to study and I began to ponder this. I read everything I could get my hands on. And from that point on, angel activity began to increase in my life exponentially. It was dramatic for me. I'd accepted my call to be an apostle at that point. Again, this is 10 years ago. But you know, this kind of stuff doesn't happen to me. I like everything in order. I don't fly by the seat of my pants ever. I mean, I just don't do that. I want to know what size the pants are, who made the pants, you know, how old they are, the thread. I want to know everything about it. But something was starting to happen that was out of my comfort zone. Not that I didn't believe in angels, I did. But up until that point, I had never really, I'd only seen angels on rare occasions. But angel activity began to increase exponentially. And I began to see the work and the ministry of angels everywhere. Even in everyday life, I would begin to see angel activity. I would see pillars of fire, and I would see lightning bolts when I preach. I would see lightning and dancing fire over top of a congregation. And I'm like, either I'm losing my mind or this is true, you know? I'm like, wow, I never experienced anything like it. And I'm like, I actually see this. It was during that season as I began to ponder. I didn't tell anybody at first because, you know, I didn't want people to think, yeah, he's lost his mind, you know. But I would see pillars of fire, just tongues of fire. But it was also during that season the Holy Spirit then, about 2 weeks later or so, he branded a phrase into my spirit. And it's been conscious awareness ever since. It's sparked my faith to believe for revival ever since, even when you couldn't see it in the natural realm. It's sparked boldness to face demon powers and just not flinch. It's enabled me to face evil strategy. And that phrase enabled us to begin to build an apostolate in Ohio that has now reached 8 different states. But back then it looked absolutely impossible to begin to build a kingdom hub that now, to date, has over 600 churches that have, just in Ohio, that have prayed 24/7 for revival with one of our prayer torches. We got a prayer torch. They're just little torches you plug in and a little flame. But the idea is a church takes that torch and they pray 24/7. I mean, they fill up every hour of the week. Do it for one full week, and then the next Sunday they pass it on to the next church. It's their turn, they do it. So I got a torch and I thought, well, I'm going to start doing this. And then that torch scheduled up pretty quick. So I got another one, and then I got another one, and then I got another one, and then I got another one. And then I got another one. And I began to go to all 88 counties holding prayer assemblies all over Ohio. And then going back and do nights of healing. Then I went back and taught on Reformation. Just began to just pour myself into it. And we had to get another torch. Now we have 16 torches and over 600 churches have prayed for revival. Now we're spread out. North Carolina, Indiana has started, Illinois, Michigan, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. That's how you start. That's how you stir up revival fire. But it came, the phrase that Holy Spirit branded into my spirit as I began to strategize all of that out was this. He spoke to me again, I was by the lake, and he said, the greatest days in church history are not in your past. They're in your present and they're in your future. I've declared that everywhere I've gone. The ramifications of that statement are enormous. Something greater than anything ever done before is about to break forth on this planet. Something greater than any move of the kingdom of God in all of history is about to surge. Greater kingdom power than has ever been seen in church history will now flow out of Christ's remnant warriors. The world has never seen anything like this before. Hell has never faced anything like this before. And in many ways, the church has never done some of the things that it is now going to do before. New strategies are being implemented. The pharaohs of evil's bondage that have become iniquitous thrones in our nation, they're now going to face people who know their authority. And miracles are going to multiply just as they did in Moses' day. When he faced Pharaoh, God just began to multiply the miracles. The pharaohs in our world will now face those at their gate who know their God. and kingdom power for mighty deliverance is going to be seen. You are going to hear mighty testimonies of awesome exploits. Because now there is an alignment of heaven's army with the remnant warrior army. That would be my generation. And with the war eagle generation. That's the coming generation. That's the prophetic word God gave me a few years ago. It went around the world. We got response on that from everywhere. God called the coming generation His war eagles. But there's now a synergizing together under Holy Spirit's supervision of the war eagles and of the remnant warriors and of heaven's warrior armies, the angels. And they're synergizing together for the greatest days in church history. Holy Spirit is marshaling His armies right now on this planet to change history. And we are going to change history. History. Bathrooms are not going to be an issue. I don't dare go there. Now, a large part of the army Holy Spirit is commanding now then is angel armies. They're here to partner with the saints under Holy Spirit's supervision. In the greatest movement the kingdom of God has ever made, and I think ever will make, because I do believe this will be the wrap-up time. This movement is going to move. I was asked about a year ago, what's the key to a movement? And I thought, movement? It's time to move. It's time for movement. It's time for a reigning church to move, propelled by the Holy Ghost. The saints, of course, are led by Holy Spirit. The angels, of course, are led by Holy Spirit. The war eagle generation, they're led by the Holy Spirit. We have the same commander, and now the world is going to see a surging dynamo, an engine, on this planet, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's going to see the power of God demonstrated in the streets of America and this world. And the greatest harvest in all of history will be reaped for our King. We're going to fire on all cylinders. On another occasion during this season, I'd gone back to the lake to pray. And I'd been thinking about apostolic networks. So many people said, start an apostolic network. And I do have a lot of sons and daughters in the kingdom, spiritual sons and daughters and other pastors. They wanted to be a part of an apostolic network. And I wasn't feeling it. I'm not against them. I've got friends that have apostolic networks talking about for me. I'm like, do I do this? Do I do this? And I'd gone back to the lake and I was seeking the Lord. Lord, what should my involvement be? And as I prayed about it, Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, what about my angel network? Well, that wasn't what I asked. Has He ever talked to you about things that you didn't, that wasn't what you meant at all? That wasn't what I asked, but evidently that was what we're going to talk about today. What about my angel network? I want you concentrating on an angel network. Again, angel, angel, angel. Well, I had never thought about it. I don't know why I had never thought about this, but I just never had. Angels networked. And I remember thinking, well, sure, God didn't, He didn't make millions and millions of angels saying, let's see what they do. It might be amusing. No, they were made for a reason. They are networked. They are a network of organized beings. They are very disciplined and a very organized army. They are linked together in an interrelated communication system with God's people, with the New Testament church, under Holy Spirit's supervision. They're in intercommunication together with the kingdom of God, with the saints, with Holy Spirit, all over the universe, and of course, to properly assist us. They're not disorganized, do their own thing beings. When I was raised in church, my dad was a pastor. I mean, I was raised in church all my life, and no one ever really talked about this. I guess we just all just figured angels did what they did, you know. We didn't. What do they do? I begin to see they are not disorganized beings. They are dedicated beings that are focused on their assignment of carrying out Holy Spirit orders and assisting Christ's heirs. So I begin to think about the potential of all the networks partnering together under Holy Spirit supervision with the angel network. That would be absolutely incredible. And that's what Holy Spirit was talking to me about. I mean, think about it. Since 1950, the Holy Spirit has been reactivating the fivefold ministry and organizing the fivefold ministry into amazing networks. I mean, he's been preparing for this since Azusa Street, really, but he began to reactivate the fivefold ministry beginning in 1950. In the 1950s, you see amazing evangelism networks. The whole decade was about evangelism. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, I mean, Catherine Kuhlman, great evangelistic crusades everywhere as evangelists were reactivated, re-energized. And then, of course, in the 60s, pastoral networks were reactivated. It was all about pastoring. Pastors, great pastors came on the scene, like Tommy Barnett and, Jack Hayford. I mean, great Church of the Way, great pastors everywhere. It was all about pastors. And then in the 1970s, shifted, reactivating teaching ministry. It was all teaching, 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 teaching. He went everywhere and got teaching because there was Copeland teaching and Hagin's teaching. Everybody's teaching is all about teaching. And then in the 80s, the prophetic networks began to be reactivated. And we got to find out, hey, there's prophets today. And Chuck Pierce and Cindy Jacobs and Dr. Bill Hammond, people like that, they come out of the woodwork and we're like, wow, prophecies for today. And then in the 1990s, lo and behold, guys like me found out we are really not weird. It's okay to think that we can take the world. It's okay to think we can take all of Indiana. It's okay to not think local. I think regional. I think everywhere. I think strategies. I just think, you know, how do we tear down hell everywhere? And it was all apostle. Why? It was preparation for right now, for the day of the saints, for the third great awakening. Holy Spirit's going to pour fresh oil on all of those networks as well as give to them an activated, organized angel network to assist them. You could say the third great awakening has a sixfold network. If you add angels, they're a sixfold ministry. Again, the world has never seen anything like it. Certainly not with the technology and the communication abilities that we have today. Our King, His Holy Spirit, is now activated. He has activated the fivefold ministry into our times. He has activated the angel networks to assist us in our times. And now He is presently activating all the historic anointings of the past. All the past moves of Holy Spirit is reactivating them into our times, into an anointing that is called the Standing King Anointing. I preached that for the Appeal to Heaven conferences. Dutch started the Appeal to Heaven national conference at our place the 1st of November last year. Then we went to Daphne, Alabama, John Kilpatrick's church. 2 weeks ago we were in Moline, Illinois, that was an old well where Catherine Kuhlman, T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, they'd all preached in that pulpit. But I preached the standing king there. I don't have time to go into that tonight much. But 410,000 people have now downloaded that message around the world. That's an amazing technology. We haven't had that before. I mean, it's amazing. Tech guys will come in and say, you had 10,000 downloads of the standing king today. I'm like, really? I mean, I'm an Appalachian kid. I didn't have a cell phone till, you know, we had to run down the street to make a call. And it was a party line then, you know. I mean, it's amazing. But we have moving, Holy Spirit told me you're moving into not just Acts chapter 2, you're moving into Acts chapter 7, where the king makes his stand. And when the king makes his stand, Jack Hayford preached this 25 years ago. I'll give you a little synopsis of it. But on the day of Pentecost, what happened literally is that's the day Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. Okay? And God poured the horn of holy anointing oil over Jesus. And it did, as Psalms 133 says, it dripped down off of his head and began to drip down onto his body. So Jesus, the head of the church, sits down on the throne of heaven at the right hand of God. God pours oil over his head, anointing oil over his head, and it dripped down on the body. Where's the body? Seated in the upper room. So the first time in all of time, you now have the same anointing on the head is on the body. Why? So the body can do the same things, same works as the head did. See? Well, when the king stands up, there will be a time when the king stands up. The anointing that's been poured out over his head runs down into his lap. When he stands up, it runs down over his legs and feet for the speedy, rhythmic run of the end time church. We're going to get splashed with that. But it's not just the anointing of Pentecost. Yes, a part of the Pentecost anointing in Acts chapter 2 ran down and settled in his lap. But all other outpourings down through the ages have as well. See, a portion of Azusa Street. Yes, great outpouring, wonderful outpouring. And it was awesome, but some of that outpouring ran down and settled into his lap. And it's been held there. Cane Ridge, great outpouring. And some of it, though, is still maintained in the king's lap. The Moravian outpouring, the Methodist outpouring, the first great awakening in the 1700s, some of that ran down and settled into his lap. And then the second great awakening, some of that has settled down into his lap, waiting for the time when he makes his stand and splashes it all over us. That would be us. That's the season. We are in the season of the standing king. And when he stands, all the anointing that was poured out in the past activates into the new, into our times. All of them together. Think about it. All of those individual outpourings were historic. What happens when he pours them all out at the same time? He's activating all those movements at the same time, all those anointings at the same time, all those networks at the same time, all those ministry offices at the same time into our times. That's why I say the world has never seen anything like this before. And it's all assisted by angels, supervised by Holy Spirit. He's the key to everything. A constant prayer of mine in this season 10 years ago was, Lord, I don't understand all of this. I understand some of it. I mean, I went to Bible school and I've studied all my life different things. And I was raised in church, but I don't really understand this. And I'm going to ask you to teach me. Show me how this works. Give me enlightenment. I'll study. I'll dig in. I like to do that and I will. I'll spend days at it. I'll spend months at it. I'll spend years at it if it takes it. But you've got to give me revelation because this is beyond where I've been walking. It's beyond where I've heard anybody go. And I got to hear from you. And I remember at that time quoting Hebrews 1:14. I said, Lord, I know your word says angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. But I don't really know what that means. And I need you to show me. And when I said that, the anointing of the Lord came all over me. I don't know how to describe it. If you've ever had the anointing just come over and just captivate you, just, I mean, you are enveloped in it. It's like a blanket or something. The cloud comes over you. It's so heavy, so thick, and so powerful. Again, I was out at the lake. I'd been praying most of the day, and I was getting ready to leave. I'd actually gotten into the car, and I as I got in, I said, God, you've got to show me this. And His anointing came over me, and I was on a dirt road behind the lake. I pulled over, and I just sat there. Just the presence of God all over me. And I heard Him say, I thought it was out loud. I don't know if it was out loud. It seemed out loud to me. Probably wasn't, but it seemed out loud. And it might have been, I don't know. But Holy Spirit said, one of your assignments in my campaign is to go as many places as you can and release the Air Force. And I knew it was H-E-I-R. The force that assists the heirs. Release my angel networks. Don't worry about my apostolic networks yet. You concentrate on the angel networks. Your assignment, a part of your assignment everywhere you go, is to release the angel network. Deploy them. Deploy them everywhere. Make decrees that deploy them on the earth. Agree with my word. Agree with my will. Agree with my plan. Speak release to angel armies. Matthew 16:19. Loose on earth what's loosed in heaven. One of those things is angel armies. They are not bound in heaven. They are loosed in heaven. They need to be loosed on the earth. Loose my armies. Deploy them. Activate them. And everywhere that I've gone, almost everywhere I've gone these past 10 years, I've spoken release to angel armies in place after place after place. I've lost count a long time ago. I'm not here because I need a place to preach. I'm here on an assignment from the King, an assignment from the Holy Spirit. Angel armies will be activated in Rochester, in this region. And hell will not prevail. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Demon thrones will fall. And place after place, I've done that. In Jesus' name, release the angel armies here, Lord. Be loose, be activated, be engaged. You got to declare, let the remnant warrior armies synergize together with the angel armies. It's time. It's time. A couple of weeks after hearing this apostolic call, this is your assignment. It's one of your assignments in the end time campaign. I was in church on Sunday morning. I was getting ready to get up to preach it. I'd actually already started I'd already stood up, grabbed my notebook, and I stood there and I looked up into the balcony. The worship was really strong that morning. I looked up into the balcony and I saw two huge angels in the balcony. They must have been 10, 12 feet tall. They were big. Looking back on it, it's amazing it didn't throw me. At this point, I just accepted it. You know, like, it's okay. Now, as I said, up until that point, again, this is a long time ago, 10 years or so now, I had rarely seen angels, and the couple of times that I had seen angels, I had only seen light beings. I don't know how else to describe them. I had only seen them as, looked like a person, but a light person, or just a light being. And that had been rare, but I had seen light beings on occasion, but not this time. This time there were colors. One had a beautiful sapphire blue sash. And the other one had a purple sash. Having never seen colors before, I know, okay, this is significant. I know Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something. And I could hardly wait to get out of church that day so I could start studying colors. I had never done it. And man, there's so much on colors and prophecy. It's amazing that I had never really studied it. Purple, of course, is the color of kings. Kings wear purple and fine linen. So purple references the king's anointing or his kingdom or his the king's authority. It's a government color. That's why when I see that color or an angel wearing those colors, I know government is here. Kingdom government. They're government angels. That happened with, Chuck Pierce called and asked if I would go to Detroit to deal with the curse of Pontiac with him. And as soon as I got there, I began to see angels with this purple sash on. I know the government of God's here. It was an awesome night. Yeah, it's real stuff. There are governing angels. They know how to do this. I studied that. And then royal blue, that references Holy Spirit or outpourings of the Holy Spirit or movings of the Holy Spirit activity. And so I knew Holy Spirit was confirming a fresh outpouring is coming, a new release of the King's anointing to rule and reign on this earth. Romans 5:17. Rule and reign in this life, not the next one. Of course, we're going to do that. I want to rule and reign here. Yes. Authority would be demonstrated at new levels. And I knew Holy Spirit angels were present to help because there were two huge ones up in the balcony. And I knew that each one of them were commanders. I don't know how I knew it. It's intuitive. I didn't see any angels with them. I just saw those two. It would be a couple of years before I saw angel squads with both of them. Actually, first time I saw it was in Rochester, New York. Well, with Cindy Jacobs that time. But I knew the angel armies were present and, a supernatural help was present to bring this all to pass. And in future times, I don't have time to go into it tonight. Maybe I will a little bit tomorrow. But there are five distinct angels that are assisting this third great awakening. These are just two of them. So I begin to pray. God, show me this. Now, as the sons of Issachar, we've got to discern our times so we know what to do. So I begin to make that a constant prayer. And I want to kind of wrap this up and tie it together with this because I've already gone quite a long time. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, the sons of Issachar understood the times to know what Israel ought to do. Well, we too must understand our times. We need to know what to do. I mean, angels are busy for a reason. What's the reason? Holy Spirit's coming with far more angels than he did at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. What's the reason? The word understand, they understood the times, understanding the times. That is the word bina. And it means knowledge or it means wisdom. It means insight or it means intelligence. The word times, that's the Hebrew word eth, and it means proper time, or it means the right season or time. It means the appropriate time for an event or a happening. The two words to know, it's just one Hebrew word, yada, means to perceive, or anoint to perceive, or anoint to see, means to inform, means to reveal. It means knowledge gained through sensing. You sense it. Yada, you sense something. You should be sensing things right now. Holy Spirit's up to something. You may not know what, but you sense something. It also means, yada, means to distinguish between options. Ought to do. Know what they ought to do. That's just one word in the Hebrew text, and it is asah. It means to execute. Or it means to work, create, build, or to prepare. Asah describes God's creative activities, not his abilities. not his abilities. No, the activity of that ability. Asal is a little bit difficult to describe. It means to prepare for God activity that only God's ability could create for you. Something's beginning on earth, a campaign is building on earth that only the abilities of God can execute. We are called to discern it and participate. Holy Spirit will release divine ability, anointing, and angel assistance. In other words, the kingdom of Almighty God and of His Christ is going to demonstrate God activity upon the earth. On the earth. On the earth. Not heaven. Of course, heaven. No, this is on earth. Right here, right now. King Jesus has issued the command. Holy Spirit has heard that command and has activated angel armies concerning that plan. They order from heaven, prepare for God activity. Prepare for my kingdom's activity all over the earth. Prepare my bride for my activities. Prepare my church for my kingdom activities. Prepare it to move. Prepare it to execute. Like we did with Daniel. You go down there and you cause them to understand this. Gabriel, activate this. Michael, activate this. Angel armies, activate this. Kingdom of heaven, activate this. Holy Spirit, activate the greatest movement of my kingdom earth has ever seen. Prepare my church for God activity. That my abilities and my power and my delegated authority has released to them. We got to discern our time so we know what to do. Clearly, one of the reasons for the releasing of angels in great numbers, one of the reasons Holy Spirit comes with angel hosts, is to activate that plan through the New Testament church. They're here to assist the Holy Spirit in assisting us to understand and participate. They're here to assist us in connecting to the proper option and then execute it in the name of the Lord. So, when you put together the Hebrew words of 1 Chronicles 12:32, you see what Holy Spirit's doing right now on the earth. It prophesies to us really clearly. Yes. Bina, Eth, Yada, Asa. Holy Spirit is anointing God's people with intelligence and wisdom that reveals the proper time, the appropriate time for an event to come into season. He is anointing us with perception to sense and distinguish the proper option so it can be executed to work perfectly as designed by heaven. He is preparing us appropriately for the releasing of God's creative activities so we can participate in a God happening. A God happening is coming to earth right now. Holy Spirit and His angels are here to help make that happen. They are here to help fire up the saints. They're here to take coals off the altar and light our lips on fire as blazing representatives of Jesus Christ. Light our lips with decrees. So this campaign is going to be extended on earth by the New Testament saints and by angel armies that are networked together around the world. We're told in Chronicles chapter 2 verse 10 that Jesus is their head. He is the head of them. Of course, so is the Holy Spirit because He's the other self of Christ. Colossians 2:10 says He is the head of principalities and powers. And thrones and mights and dominions. So yes, there are demon principalities. There are demon powers trying to rule nations and trying to rule regions just like this region. We've understood that a bit, at least in the body of Christ. And certainly we are to wrestle them according to Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle principalities and powers. We fight them. And we don't just fight them, we beat them. But We have not understood the way that we should, that Christ has his own principalities and powers and mights and dominions. Hell's just copying what the king has. Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2 describes that. See, hell's kingdom's not organized and our kingdom disorganized. That's foolish. Christ has his own principalities, powers, mights and dominions all over this world. Angel delegates that he has released his might and authority through, and they rule over all over this nation and even parts of the universe. They are not disorganized. They are a finely tuned, organized army, and they're waiting to partner with the saints in their region under Holy Spirit commands. They're waiting for someone in authority in their region to loose them in that region. Colossians 1:18 says Christ has the preeminence over all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. So he has preeminent power over all of the principalities and powers of hell. But of course also he has preeminent power over his own princes and principalities and powers. He is preeminent. The point is, we do have principalities, powers, mights, dominions, thrones, networked to assist us in our war against hell's kingdom. And they're very, very organized. And there are far more angels than there are demons. Far more. Only one-third of the angels fell when Lucifer led his rebellion against God in heaven. One-third of the angels fell with Lucifer, according to Revelations 12 and verse 4. That, and I went to Appalachian schools, and I wasn't the smartest kid in the world, but that tells me that there are two-thirds more good angels than the one-third bad angels. That is, unless God made more angels. He could have replaced the one-third that fell. We don't know. He could have. But it's at least 2-1 odds. So we ought to be seeing more angel activity than we do demon activity. It's just that the church, the past few years, has been releasing more demons with their words than they have angels with their words. We believe demons are going to work. We believe demons are going to talk to us and strategize against us. But if you see an angel the Lord talk to you, oh, that guy's weird. And we should be exceedingly confident, not just in the superior number of angels over demons, but in the fact that the preeminent one commands them. The superior one commands them. One more picture. Joshua chapter 5, we see a picture of what took place in the upper room. There's a parallel there. I don't have time to do it justice tonight. But you'll remember, and there's a parallel between Joshua 5 and Acts 2. It was time for God's people to enter the promised land after 10 years in the wilderness. Joshua was then in charge. Moses had just died. They were crossing into the land, and the first obstacle was Jericho. Jericho was a massive walled city, 54 feet high. Joshua went out to survey the city. How can we capture this? And while looking on the city, he came face to face with a warrior, and the warrior had a drawn sword. The sword was out. It wasn't sheathed. The sword was pulled. He had a pulled, drawn sword. And that means the warrior was alert. He was ready to do some fighting. And Joshua in Joshua 5:18 said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the warrior replied, "I'm captain of the Lord's host. I'm Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies." And amazingly, you see an Old Testament appearance, a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ himself. And he introduced himself as captain of the hosts. In other words, he had brought angels to assist God's people. I mean, who do you think knocked those walls down? When they shouted, angels pulled the rugs out from under the place. The word host there is Saba'a, means a mass of angels organized for war. It literally means a mass of beings organized for a campaign or a movement or a surge. You ever see pictures of a hurricane? The tide surges. It'll surge inland and it'll take everything out with it. We're being prepared for a Holy Ghost surge. And no obstacle of hell going to stop it. Time for a kingdom surge. Now clearly there's a real angel army that can do real things on the earth, because they sure did a real thing at Jericho. They're not imaginary. They are real. They are organized. They are captained by the Godhead. King David said they organize around the decrees of the saints. They rally around the decrees of the saints. Psalms 103 verse 20 says, angels hearken to the voice of God's word. That is, they listen for God's word that we decree into our lives or region. Or they listen to prophetic words that we decree, because a prophetic word is also God's word. Or they rally around declarations of faith that are based on God's word. They organize to bring it to pass, just like they did the shout decree at Jericho. A shout decree is simply a declaration of victory or a declaration of overcoming. Actually, a shout decree is a battle cry. That's why the Philistines said, you can't touch Israel. There's a shout of the king among them. When they shout, the angels went to work. When we shout, angels go to work. Also, this is a little better known in our times, they are also commissioned to organize around our worship. And they set ambushes against our enemies when they do. See, praise is also a decree. It's what praise is. It decrees Jesus is Lord to music. It declares victory to music. It declares scripture in song. It declares doctrine in song. It declares covenants in songs or principles in songs. A great decree is there is power, wonder working power in the blood. Start singing that and watch what happens. It's a decree. So the picture of scripture is clear. When the other self comes, the other self of Christ, when this part of the Godhead comes, he comes with the host. And that's what's occurring right now in our time. Angel activity and angel armies are beginning to march on this planet as never before in all of history. He comes with warriors prepared for war. He comes as Lord Sabaoth. Just as angels accompanied and assisted Jesus, the Lord of hosts, when he came to shift Joshua and the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land, the captain of the angel host, Jesus, was shifting Joshua to a different level, a different position, a different governing position, a different position of authority that he had never had before. He was miraculously providing them for victory. Similarly, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. The other self of Christ came. And he came with angel armies to do what? To take them to a different level. To open up new office authority, governing authority, apostolic authority. It was all going to go to a whole new level. And now he's saying, I'm coming like that again. I'm Lord Sabaoth. Coming into your time, this time with more angel armies to activate the greatest move of God that has ever been seen on this planet. Hear the word of the Lord. It is time for a new outpouring. It's time for the church to receive fresh power from on high. It's time for fresh fire to come off the altars of God and become flames upon our lips. It's time for a divine shift into new leadership and new levels of authority. It's time for the apostles and the apostolates and the pastors and the congregations to begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in their region like never before, demonstrated with signs, wonders, and miracles. Angels are networking right now with the Church of Jesus Christ under Holy Spirit commands. And they're moving with fresh wind. You can hear the swishing sounds of heaven. You can hear the rhythmic beat, the heartbeat of God as it's beginning to drum through the New Testament church and begin to resonate in the hearts of believers just like you and I. Angels, they're ministering fresh fire, and the flashes of God's lightning are beginning to strike back and forth. forth. They're bringing coals off the altar to begin to light up those that have lost their fire. And they're refiring the courage and the abilities of the New Testament church. They're ambushing hell's forces. They're acting on prophetic words. They're enforcing the decrees of the saints. They're organizing to bring about a new happening on this earth. They're assisting the third great awakening. They're activating signs and wonders in places just like Rochester, Indiana. They're creating and they're giving signs and wonders from heaven. We're entering the days that Christ has said would evidence Him standing with His bride as never before. We are evidencing, or we are seeing or going to see evidence, the glorious church, not a gloryless church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. The synergy of the ages is behind this one. The power of the ages, ageless one is behind this one. Angel armies are behind this one. It is time now. It is the appropriate time now. It is the proper time now to synergize the efforts of heaven and the efforts of earth together into a New Testament on fire happening. One that hell can't stop. One that sees millions saved. One that synergizes the generations together. One that marches with determination. One that begins to run with some passion. One that stands with faith and courage. One that declares Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One that's not confused. One that's not vacillating everywhere. One that's not hesitating. One that's not silent. One that's not ashamed. One that's not intimidated. One that's not passive. One that's not politically correct. It's biblically correct. One that's not double-minded. One that's not apprehensive. One that's on fire with the presence of the living God. One that declares, Jesus, come and move here. Surge here, King Jesus. Surge with your power through this area of Indiana. Release your angels. Come and make your stand with us. Come and stand with us and activate the power of the ages. Hallelujah. It is time for that. And we're going to see it right here. The greatest days in church history are not in the past of Rochester, Indiana. No. The greatest days are in your present, and they are in your future. We just release that word to go and be activated now. Loose angel armies, loose angelic princes, activate the anointing of the ages, activate signs and wonders and miracles. Let us see your kingdom stronger in Rochester than it has ever been in all of time and history. Let the greatest harvest of souls be brought in. Let them be brought in now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll share a lot more on that in the morning, but tonight I want to move into a ministry time in just a moment. I have a specific thing I want to minister tonight. God has told me that, He told me a while back that I was to minister this in certain areas where hope deferred is concerned. It's a word of freedom and encouragement, or a release of anointing for that. And I want to do that in just a moment. But I don't want to break it up for the offering. I want to take up offering, then we'll minister. That way, however long it goes, it goes. I don't want to break up that. So we'll receive an offering now, and then during that time, if the praise team maybe get up, give us some music, and I'll release that word. I want to pray for some of you tonight. But if you can help us, I'm trying to do all I can, everywhere I can. The Awakening Now Prayer Network, we have no full-time employees. We all do it volunteer. And, I mean, we'll go anywhere and we'll preach or teach to anybody. We don't charge anything. We do take up love offerings. And the only reason I don't do more is because I don't have money to. If I got it, I spend it. I go do something with it somewhere. Dutch and I are beginning to team up in some regions and do things. I go do prayer assemblies. I get out of church on Sunday morning, get on the bus, and I go. Because the cause is worth it. I don't even know if I ever will retire. I'll just keep going. I mean, guys my age are sitting in chairs. Sleep by now. No, greatest days. I'm not setting out the greatest days. I'm not setting that out. I'm going to go harder than I ever have before. But it needs to be funded. I know that you know that. If you can help, we'll appreciate that so much. If you're writing a check, just write it to Tim Sheets Ministries, and that doesn't go to the Oasis. The Oasis doesn't fund what I do. I told him I will not take a dime from the Oasis to do this. I'll fund it other ways. God's been faithful. 88 counties, and I don't know how we've done it, but we have. A lot of times we get back 3 or 4 in the morning. A lot on the Sundays, it's long day. This next Sunday, we'll get out and drive up to Cleveland. I'll preach and then drive back the same night. I'll get back about 4 in the morning. I just want to do all I can to release this prophetic word. I wasn't just preaching tonight. I was sowing into the heavens. And it will reap rewards. I believe that. But if you can help us, please do so. We'll use it, I promise. We'll use it for the furtherance of the kingdom message in this region. Do we have ushers, or do they bring it up? Ushers, serve the people. Give us a song, and then I'll start ministering that other area. I want to minister a certain way tonight. Tomorrow I'll minister different at the end, but God spoke to me to break hope deferred in regions. I want to do that tonight and off people's life. A few years ago, my daughter came to me and she said, God has been talking to me and her husband, Mark, and has told us we're supposed to adopt a child from China. And I said, oh, that sounds good. You know, we had one grandchild at that time, and now they say they want to adopt. They said, well, we feel like we're to adopt a special needs child from China. And they showed me a picture of a little baby in China. Her name was Lily, Lily Mei Mei. She had been left at a bus station when she was only a couple of days old because she had a cleft palate and a cleft lip and palate. The Chinese consider that to be a curse. And so they just discarded this baby. And Rachel says, I feel like we're supposed to adopt this baby. And I said, yeah, let's reverse the curse. Well, that's fixable. I don't know how many cleft palates we fix, because every now and then I'll just tell Carol, go fix another one. You know, you $300. You can change a person's life forever. Yeah, we always do one for birthdays or Christmas. Go fix a baby. So they bring Lily home, go to China. At this point, she was 1 year old, and it was right before Christmas. So Lily is 1 year old. She still has the cleft palate. We're getting it fixed, but we just got her. So anyway, we, Carol and I, our job is to get as many Christmas presents as we possibly can for the grandkids and spoil them and let Mom and Dad do everything else. I mean, they know if you want some, come to Papa. Because I'll say yes. Absolutely. Ask, you'll receive. So we got all these presents for Madeline, who is 6 at the time. She's a professional present opener. And we got all these for Lily. And so we're starting to open presents, and the kid, Maddie's opening, and we're sitting there, and Lily's not doing anything. And it suddenly dawned on me, she's never had a present. She doesn't know what to do. So I'm just sitting in a chair, I'm just watching right now, you know. I'm just watching. So finally Maddie's got all, she's got all her stuff open. And she starts running into the house, getting stuff in our house, wrapping it up to give to us. And she's using gobs and gobs and gobs of tape. And so she comes in, of course, we're open it. Oh, thank you. And here's all these gobs of tape. Well, Lily, she's sitting there and she's playing with the tape. Just playing with the tape. I still haven't said anything. I'm just watching this. And she's playing with this tape, and fascinated with the tape. And finally she reaches over and she tries to lay the tape down. Of course, it sticks to her hands. So she does this, and it sticks to her hands. Then she's doing it, and she couldn't get it, so she didn't just, she panicked, and she started crying. So then I jump, and I took the tape away, you know, and then we begin to teach her how to open presents. Now she's a pro, but and she's beautiful, gorgeous. That night I woke up about 2 in the morning. And Holy Spirit started talking to me about what I had seen. And He said to me, I am removing accumulated grief from my people. And the picture of that tape is what came to mind. I'd never thought of grief before as accumulating. But the longer I live, the more I see it in good Christian people. This happens, and we try to lay it down. We just go on with life, but something gets taped to us. It sticks. We think we lay it down, but it's still there. And you know, then a betrayal happens, and our heart just starts to get taped. Our soul, a layer of tape gets on there somehow. And then a best friend dies, and the grief of that just starts to accumulate and more tape. Then the disease comes on a family member, and we're dealing with that. And the heaviness, it just keeps accumulating and accumulating. And then could be a broken relationship. So many are taped up by brokenness that way. And they try to lay it down. I've seen so many try to lay it down, and you think you lay it down and it sticks. And you need somebody bigger than you, like Lily, to come along and say, let me take that. I can untape you. David said He restores my soul. He could easily said he tore the tape of accumulated grief off of me. Perhaps that's you tonight. The soul is weighted by whatever. Life happens. But God wants us free. How can we be warriors in the end time army if we're all taped up? And so no matter what, for whatever reason tonight, you need your soul untaped. You need it energized, freed, restored. Father said, I want to remove accumulated grief from my people, and I'm going to do it. So as they sing, if that's you, I want you to come and stand here. And then I have a certain way that I want to pray for you. I'll say that in a minute. minute, but when you come, just leave like 2 feet between you all across here. If that's you, you want to come. Could be the betrayal of, could be a brokenness. And you say, it's always there. It's like tape stuck to me, stuck to my soul, and I want it gone. Wow. Okay, now, is everybody, try to leave just a little bit of space in between you, just a little bit. Okay, yeah, get in here somewhere. I'm going to need the rest of your help in just a moment. We may have to get the praise team, we got so many up here. That's all right. Okay. Now, those of you that are back there and you say, you know, I didn't need to come forward, but, you know, I've been there. God's helped me. I would like for you to come and get between two of these people. Just kind of fill the gap. And come on and help me. Just kind of get in the gaps because you're going to help me pray for them. So I want everybody to get in the gap. Somebody get in these gaps. If you don't have enough gaps, we don't have enough gap fillers, I'll jump in there. Wow. 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 Has everybody got someone between them now? If you need somebody between you, let me see. We need somebody down here. We need somebody here. Okay, I'm going to have to ask you guys to help. Okay? Come down and help me. Sorry. We got to have gap fillers. We'll just sing our way down. Okay, where do we need them? Where do we need them? Here, we need one here. We need one here. Guys, over here, please. Okay. All right. Now, before I start praying, we need one right here. Right here. Okay, good. We got them. Need one more here. Who can help me? There you go. Now, you probably know that person on your left or your right. I don't know if you know them or not, but if you don't, find out the name of the person on your left or right. But I'm going to ask you to agree in prayer with me that God is going to remove accumulated grief from them. And he's going to release encouragement and strength. And I'm going to ask you to do this. If you would, please. For the next week, those of you that are in the gap, and this is all I'm asking, is that you say, Lord, I stood beside Mary on Friday night and she needs your help. Strengthen her. I stood beside John and you just pray for him every day for a week. That the encouragement of God will come, and I'll be praying too, okay? So lay your hands on their shoulder and let's start to pray. Lord, tonight so many came, and they need a touch from you. They need the grief. They needed those times of betrayal and those bitter times that have stuck to their soul, Lord. They need you to come and be the mighty one that can remove it. I begin, Lord, tonight. I declare tonight and ask that you begin to unwrap their heart. Begin to remove the tape. Begin to remove it, Lord. Whatever the reason, the broken relationship. Lord, you said you're going to remove accumulated grief from your people. That you're going to begin to restore their soul and make them brand new in their heart and in their soul. And I believe, Lord, tonight is their night. Lift it in Jesus' name from them. Begin to unwrap their hearts, Lord. Cause liberty and freedom to come into their soul miraculously, Lord. Lord, for many standing here, yes, Yes, the removing, Lord, of a disease. Yes, that's miraculous. But for some here whose heart has been broken, Lord, a great miracle for you to put it back together again. Put them back together again, Lord. Begin to pull the tape off, the betrayal off, the grief off. Lord, the toughness. In the name of Jesus, we declare liberty to them tonight. In the name of Jesus, we declare, Lord, a supercharge of anointing to begin to flow into their soul, into their spirit, into their being today, Lord, that will cause them to have a heart that begins to dance with freedom. Let this be the night, Lord, when they lay it down. When they lay it down and it doesn't stick anymore. It doesn't stick when they go home. They're free. Let the Son of God make these people free. Freedom in Jesus' name. Deliverance in Jesus' name. As David, Lord, may they decree, the Lord has restored my soul. Let them begin to run, Lord, without any accumulated grief. Lord, some of it may go back as far as childhood. It could go back to the abuse, Lord. It could go back to the incest. It could go back, Lord, to the rape. It could go back to so many things, Lord. The abuse of authority, the abuse of a family member, whatever it is, Lord, untape their heart. Take it off. Take it away. We know you want them to be free. We know. Lord, let freedom begin to flow through this altar tonight. Let the freedom of the Lord Jesus. Let the freedom of the Lord Jesus begin to be. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want every one of you that came forward to every day for the next 7 days to say something like this as often as you think about it. The Lord God has untaped my heart. I am free from accumulated grief. I want you to say it when you get up in the morning. I am free from accumulated grief. I am free from accumulated grief. I am free just every time you think about it. And those of you that filled the gap again, you are praying, Lord, Mary, I stood beside her. She is free from accumulated grief. John's free. Bob's free from accumulated grief. Dave's free. Sally's free. We're going to decree this together. And we're going to believe in Jesus' name that there's going to be an infusion of divine life that flows into you, that frees you so that you can run with great freedom into your future, liberty into your future. Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I don't have time to teach on it tonight. I've taught enough tonight. But you have two angels assigned to you, and they're listening for your decrees. When you decree that, they will continue to minister that around your life. So decree it. I'm free. God's making me free. No more accumulated grief. Angels will begin to connect to you great strength. They do strengthen us. It's a part in the book. They will begin to strengthen you in your soul and in your spirit. And they'll put people into your life that will encourage you, and they will remove people from your life that are harming you. So decree it. Decree it. Don't forget to decree it. Idle words, idle angels. Don't idle them. Release them in Jesus' name, right? Okay. If you'll do that, you're going to see freedom like never before. Now in the morning, I've got a lot more on angels to teach, and then we'll do more of the physical side of healing. I got to talk about a vision God gave me on that. But make sure you do that as soon as you get up tomorrow. In fact, we'll probably do it before we leave class tomorrow. We'll just make decrees, amen? All right. So, Pastor, 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning, right here. We'll have some praise and worship. Sorry about not getting the praise team up and knocking them down, but we had to have gap fillers. Now they're on assignment too, but they'll be singing in the morning. We'll see you. Bless you. We'll see you in the morning. I'll be back.